into life with a girlfriend.
Hey, wow, you're singing it.
There are just times in my life that I would like to be able to sing everything that comes out of my mouth. I think it would be my intentional way to slow down my voice pattern.
So when I say, hey, Julie, when we do this podcast, could you just slow it down? You'd go, yes, mother, yeah. I will.
Exactly.
Because you're singing, dream a little dream. That's what you've been singing all morning long.
And whose fault is that?
Mine?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you're the one who got
it's
me.
It's always mama's fault.
It's always mama's fault. Well, if mama ain't happy, no one's happy, then it's always your fault.
That's
if,
right. So in the case of nature versus nurture, it's nurture. Your problem is that mama told me not to come.
That's right.
Mama told me. That's another one you were singing today.
I know.
That ain't the way to have fun.
I know why that's going on. It's because I have been inundated with, you know, Mother Day commercials.
Oh.
You know, Happy Mother's Day.
Yay.
Buy candy. Buy flowers. Buy jewelry.
Oh.
You know, take your mother on a vacation.
Whoa.
Just inundated. Like,
I've left hints for Norm.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yes.
And hints
via
and tips and
you.
Yes, you just said this is exactly what I want. I'm going to make it super duper easy for you.
And then I said, Norm, do you know exactly what I want then? Since I told Julie, and he goes,
No.
Why would I need to know?
No,
since
you've told Julie.
You told Julie, so I don't even have to keep it in my in my head.
I will just ask Julie, or I'll say, here's some money. Go take care of your mama. And then I'll be just a surprise when it comes, too. And I'll be like, whoa, this is what she asked for? This is awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
He can't even, I know, I said it in front of him about three or four times. He will not even know what it is when it comes.
No.
The thing
like,
that I
what
want.
What is this?
Like, what could this pass? How could this be worth $150?
Yes, it just seems amazing.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you what this is.
Right.
This is life changing. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Well, hello, Julie. Thank you. And I thank you for welcoming me to Life with the Girlfriends.
Yes.
Or as we like to call it, More Life with the Girlfriends.
And you are Christine Marie.
That's right.
And I'm Julie.
Marie.
But I just call myself Julie.
And around here, they call me Mama.
That's right. I'm the daughter.
That's right.
And we're both life optimization coaches. You're a psychotherapist.
Yes.
We're just doing lots of fun stuff
I'm so certifiable because I've got lots of degrees and certificates and all that stuff.
Well, it's so interesting because later on, last week's podcast, we played an interview that I did with my brother Greg, but actually the interview was with author David Ross.
Correct.
On his book, I Finally Quit, and So Can You. But his two major sad habits, as we like to say, were alcohol and smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, oh, Mom would love this interview because you have your certificate in alcohol addiction, don't
right.
you?
Right, I sure do. Yeah.
And
addiction.
I thought that, well, this guy really takes addictions and I was going to say something about it, but puts the oomph in it. I mentioned in the interview that, you know, hey, you are really a perfectionist, even with your addictions. And we'll talk about that in the last part of our show.
In Pillar Talk. Go ahead and sing that.
Pillow Talk. Pillow Talk. And then we start talking about Pillar Talk.
Right.
Now, there is no song called Pillar Talk, but we do have Doris Day's song, Pillow Talk.
And that's good enough for us.
Yeah, we're enjoying that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was going to ask you.
Ask away.
Yeah. I mean, since the last time we talked on Life with the Girlfriends, you've been across the country. You went to San Diego.
Yes.
And I want you to, now don't take this the wrong way, but I want you to debrief me.
I would debrief you if you ever wore briefs. But girlfriend,
I know your girlfriend goes commando most
a
of
lot.
The time.
Yeah, you do. Most of them be like, you know, what if I sneezed or something? I know that's what I think. I'm like, what if I sneezed?
I like, because I'm just an old hippie.
Yeah,
if I sneeze, I sneeze.
I'll say God bless you. And exactly. What are you going to do?
And stop at the laundromat.
That's exactly right. What else are you going to do about that? What was the question you asked me? Oh, yes, I was in San Diego.
Right. I want you to talk. I want you to debrief me about San Diego.
I will debrief you about San Diego. In our last podcast, it was great because Greg and I did a podcast together in the airport about our experience in San Diego. And I almost wanted to call it our travel blog because it felt like we were sharing the ins and outs of San Diego. Mm-hmm. If you had just a one day or, you know, you're there for a conference and you mm-hmm. got in a little early, but you had to leave right after the conference. And so here's what you could do to really get in San Diego.
Right.
And so we went to the island.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the island?
Coronado, is that it?
I don't know.
Coronado.
It sounds like it could be it.
I think it's it. The reason why I'm not sure at the moment, because it's in Rockford, they have a Coronado Theater.
Right.
So I'm thinking, am I mixing up the words?
I think you're right, though.
Yeah. And so it was a beautiful island. And also they have the naval base there. Mm-hmm. And so...
Oh, there's a naval base on the island?
Yes. And so we had these flights just taking off, mostly helicopters and some jets, mm-hmm. not fighter jets, though. And then we would see battleships out in the ocean doing their maneuvers and practicing. It was beautiful and fascinating. The one thing that I can say about San Diego, which if you remember Anchor Day and Anchorman, mm-hmm. remember... Steve Carell is in it. He's the weatherman and Anchorman. And Will Ferrell. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, you know, Steve Carell is like an idiot. But he can be a weatherman, especially in San Diego, mm-hmm. because the weather is always beautiful.
Oh, I know.
And so I'm just shocked. I mean, I believed it, but I always thought it would be too hot.
Mm-hmm. And I always think of California is too hot.
Exactly, and way too dry. Mm-hmm. But what I'm noticing, now, it rained a little bit when we were there, but only in the morning, mm-hmm. like from 3 to 4:30 or 3 mm-hmm. to 5:30. And it was just, when you're close to the coast, it was just beautiful. 70 degrees, 65 degrees, mm-hmm. with a wind, mm-hmm. with a breeze. Continuously.
I mean, I
at
really
night,
am
55
jealous.
55 degrees with the and it never varies more than like 20 degrees. Yeah. And it just was beautiful. Now,
here's for me though. I mean, like, for a girl that lives in the Midwest, I really do just like a temperature from about 50 to 65.
That's exactly San Diego.
And that's exactly, See, I'm jealous.
Yeah. And I looked at the, like, what it would be like in August. I figured that'd be the hottest month. Mm-hmm. And it was average temperature 75 with a breeze.
Gosh.
In August.
Yeah. In the Midwest, average temperature 105 degrees.
And so it has this small range of temperature. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. I think by the ocean, it gets a little more rain mm-hmm. the further you get out. I mean, literally, if you're 20 miles out from the coast, I think it's a total different climate.
Oh, that's almost desert, like San Francisco or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Desert, hot, mm-hmm. you know, oppressive. I think it has the same kind of qualities as L.A. has. When you hear people talk about L.A., mm-hmm. they're like, oh, my gosh, it's so hot in the valley and it's so hot here. But in Malibu, it's cool and, you know, it's
right,
nice.
Right, nice, the breezes.
Yes. And so it really just was amazing how beautiful it was. And once I was looking at the mm-hmm. temperature and the average, like, this is almost... a perfect place
perfect.
To live.
Yeah.
The problem is...
And is San Diego the perfect place to live?
Yes. I mean, it's a perfect place to live. However, it's not a secret. So everybody...
See, like where we live, it's a secret.
It's a secret. We got a golf course. We got a big, huge lake.
Got the river.
We got several several state parks around us. They're beautiful. Literally... Where we live, if people really knew about how beautiful it was where
don't
we live.
Don't tell them.
I know. Don't tell them. Yeah. No. But Diego, the word is out.
Mm-hmm.
The word is out.
Even from what you told me to the homeless.
Yes.
Because
they love living there.
Yeah, we get a few homeless people traveling through. They've got their, you know, cardboard signs and stuff. They're usually heading south.
Right.
Because, you know.
It's so funny because sometimes you see them and they are... They look like they just came from Cabela's or, you know, their backpack they look prepared. They've got their sleeping bags, their huge backpack. They got their dog and he's got a little jacket on and
sunglasses
and they look homeless chic, if that's the right word.
Yes,
if I want to say that. And so I always wonder, are they just starting a travel blog? You know, is this just their thing? Like, what do you do? Because I remember when Hillary was in college in Naperville, there was a local homeless man who lived literally in a tent on the front of the library, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I remember when we went to get Carmel Carn.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember if it was Naperville or something.
It was Naperville,
but there was a homeless man that lived in a cardboard box.
Yeah, but I think the same homeless guy.
Oh, same, same guy.
I think he had a tent and a cardboard box. I think he branched out.
Oh.
But he has a computer. Uh-huh. And I think because he is by the library,
he gets free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi. I don't know how he charges his computer up, but, you know, that's... Mm-hmm. But he writes a blog. He wrote a blog and things like that. And I think some people were trying to get rid of him, make sure he would move on, you know. But, you know, Naperville can only handle, you know, a part-time.
The one homeless guy.
You know, and if they allow one, everybody's like, well, we're going to allow more, you know, and so forth. And who wouldn't want to live in Naperville by the library? I would. I can't afford it.
It's kind of like the immigrant problem that we're having.
Yeah.
We got to close those Naperville borders.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I just never know what... I feel there's probably this continuum of homelessness. And it was kind of cute because Gary goes, I'm afraid I tell people that I was homeless for a short time.
And he was, but it was...
By choice.
It was by choice. It was on purpose.
I don't know where that, you know, in the continuum, where people lie. I mean, obviously, one of the homeless men I saw was drunk, you know, and... kind of aggressive.
In San Diego. Yeah, you were telling me that, unless I misunderstood, that they like their own trees.
They have, well, I saw a couple of guys, you know, take over a couple different trees in this one park.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they spread all their stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was obvious that this was all they owned, you know, because you wouldn't take all this stuff for just a ride in the park.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so you know, I'm like, well, cool. I mean, they got it going on. I don't know if they have, maybe they still get food stamps. I know, like, I knew this one guy who was kind of homeless that went to Seattle or Portland. Mm-hmm. And they have such a strong structure there for the homeless that they can plug you right into services.
Oh, good.
And sometimes, and like now he's got a job. He works for an actual, I think he's actually assistant manager of a grocery store. This has been like 2 years.
Right. Does he have an actual apartment now?
He might now, but I don't know exactly. But you're allowed to actually, like, here's where I live at the corner of this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because the weather is so nice, or, you know, even not necessarily in, or, you know, Portland can get a little cold, but... By embracing that this is just what's going on, at least then there's systems in place to move people beyond it if possible.
Right, I love that.
Because there are times when you are homeless because you just don't, of circumstance, and you just don't know what to do next, and but you're not completely, you know, in your addiction, you know, there's no other options for you or you're mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
I know with our brother, my brother, your son, you know, he just got done with a divorce. He still had a job, but he's like, I got some time I need to recover here, and I got to keep my expenses low for a little while. And your idea was, they were divorcing, but not yet completely uncoupled.
Mm-hmm.
They were, what's going on with Paltrow's sign? We're uncoupling, and yet we're co-parenting. And for them, they had a little dog that his ex-wife wanted. And he didn't, but he ended up having to take care of him, like, care of the dog all the time. And so when they were divorcing, they would, quote unquote, share custody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finally said, great, just take the damn dog. Don't, you know, just make what's going on with you. Just call it. But during this time, you were saying, well, if you just live in your car for a month or two, mm-hmm. you know, by parking it at the 24-hour health club,
that's right.
coming to our house when it gets real cold,
yeah.
you're working, you know, 12, 15-hour days anyway, mm-hmm. you become a little less attractive.
That's exactly right.
And she moved on. And then once she moved on, he's like, I got to get myself a house.
Yeah, he bought himself a house.
I lost 25 pounds. You know, started
so
dating online.
Yeah, you live out of your car. You gain about 20-30 pounds, and
nice way to sever that relationship.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden,
I don't know why. What I thought about him?
Yeah,
what was I thinking? I must have had rose-colored glasses.
Wait,
on.
Wait, what?
And then that was the whole devilish plan that you did. So it worked out well. It all worked out. It was kind of cute because I'll share this quick story. Hopefully, he won't mind. But he has two daughters, and one of the daughters was asking his wife and saying, you know, have you been married before, Mommy? Because I think she's going to school now, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of kids have step parents.
Sure, absolutely.
And so there's just not this,
yeah.
like, you know, people
well, like
have...
even when we're on, if it's a Friday night and mm-hmm. we happen to be at Walmart or something, there's that whole cavalcade of parents that, you know, yeah. switch off.
It's so cute.
See that.
It's just so cute
yeah.
to see this. Everybody just switching cars. The,
yeah,
kids go out.
Kids got their big backpacks.
Exactly.
Going to dad's truck.
Exactly. When I'm with Doug and we see that, he's always feels so sad. He goes, I remember those days. I said, you never met your ex-wife at like Walmart.
Right.
You always drove to her house, you know, waited for the kids to come out. It's a little different.
Right.
You know, but not much. But and Greg was saying that, you know, his wife was saying, no, I've never been married before, you know, not. Mm-hmm. And Greg's like, I don't want that question for me because I'm going to have to say, you know, that I was married before. And I don't want her to think I was married before. I want us to think that it was just us, this family. And I said, Greg, I got it. I got your loophole. And he's like, what? You were annulled. Your marriage was annulled. It goes, so you, in the eyes of God, was never married before. He's like,
and that's your answer.
He goes, I can buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I can sell that. That's what he said. I can sell that. If she asks me, I'm going to say, in the eyes of God, I have not been married before. Your mama and I, we're married in God's eye and we're forever and ever and ever. So I just thought that was kind of cute.
It's sweet.
Yeah. So we had a really great time. I was going to say that it was really a time that I had to be very brave.
Mm-hmm.
And push myself out of my comfort zone in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just better now. I'm mm-hmm. not as afraid, but mostly I just don't care what people think of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because really I know now that no one's thinking anything of me
mm-hmm.
in the sense of they may have a thought or whatever, mm-hmm. but everybody's mostly into their own lives.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we're afraid to do something new or be
mm-hmm,
bold
mm-hmm.
because we're afraid of somebody's response to us.
Right.
Well,
or
we're going to make a fool
of ourselves.
I mean,
you would not
ourselves.
Have gotten this interview.
Right.
With I mean, we've interviewed, you know, probably dozens and dozens
right.
and dozens of authors.
Oh, yeah. Probably
but
close to 100,
it was
yeah.
so nice to have one at the conference that you were
and
at.
And I had two at the conference.
You had two.
And I actually
and
could
I
have had four, but
you...
two were like, oh, it's too different. Going home on the same plane. Great. But
yeah, but that is because you were brave, stepped out of your
yes.
comfort zone.
And I was amazed that, you know, there's like 400 people at the conference and that there wasn't a lot of chit-chatting between
mm-hmm.
groups. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
there were,
mm-hmm.
was. And so I just felt, you know, like the first one I met with was a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started talking to her. And then that got me my first interview.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second one, you gave me an agenda. You said, I need you. He's going to be there. I want you to interview this man, Chris Luck,
yes.
which you'll hear in about a week or two.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, okay. And I just said, God, my intention, I'm going to interview Chris Luck. I don't, you know, I didn't know who he looked like. So I had a,
mm-hmm.
when you have internet people that you know, you
yeah,
think
I had
you know,
a total idea of mm-hmm. what he might look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you texted me the picture of you and him together, I went, who's that?
Yeah, I go, that's
because that was not my, he was not, I mean, I pictured him blonde and
right, and he's
and
kind of got blonder features, but he's got dark hair, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it just wasn't what you thought.
No.
And so I thought to myself, God, I'm giving it to
I
you.
I pictured him nerdy. Yeah, and he looks like a man.
Yeah, just like a man.
It looks just like a
well,
man.
Well, and that's we understand that because in the internet world,
yeah,
you never know. But yeah, you just never know. It's mm-hmm. not like you're getting paid to put on a fancy suit,
right?
And sometimes you are, but you don't have to.
Yeah, we say you can do your internet stuff in your pajamas.
That's the motivation, right?
Right.
That's the selling point.
Mm-hmm.
Except that when you're in your pajamas, the last thing you want to do is work. So you almost want
to or to feel, I feel so empowered
right.
in my PJs.
In my PJs. Exactly. In my Cubs PJs or my Bears. But and we're going to talk to him in his interview and about his entrepreneurial spirit and
right.
what it takes to be an entrepreneur.
One of the reasons that why I did, you know, want you to connect with mm-hmm. with him was because he's from Illinois. He's a Illinoisan.
Exactly. And, so that was another Midwestern.
And he's a former teacher, just like you.
Yes.
So I just felt like there was this sort of spirit connection.
Well, we didn't talk about this, but there was a rivalry going between us. We didn't talk about it, which was I'm a Blackhawks fan.
Right.
And he's
St. Louis. Blues.
And
rats. Those rats.
Beat us in yeah. seven games, though.
Yeah.
So, we you know, but on one night we won. Next night he won and they won the champion. You know, they moved on in the playoffs. So, I was like, oh, man. But, you know.
And that's true, though, because I grew up I grew up in Belleville.
Right.
But right across the river was St. Louis. So, we really identified with the Cardinals and
yeah.
and St. Louis Cardinals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we moved up here. Excuse me, now we're we're total Chicago fans.
Yes.
Blackhawks, Cubs, Bears.
Gotta be. You can maybe pass off Green Bay if you want to have a little rivalry going
right.
and so forth
right.
like that. But in the podcast of last week, we were talking about you thought it was so funny because Gary was complaining about how nice I am to people.
Yes. I thought it was hysterical. He doesn't know. He's not with you enough.
Right.
To know that you stop your day to do helpful things, but mostly annoying to me.
Yes. And that's interesting to hear somebody else's point of view that it really is annoying. I don't know how to not do that though.
Right.
Because
right.
like for you, you always tell me, says Julie, you know, you're going to cause more accidents being nice as a driver.
Yes.
Be a nice driver, which I've never read anywhere statistics that say, you know, being a good, cautious driver and letting people cut in front of you need be causes accidents. I have not read that anywhere.
This is mama wisdom.
Exactly. Mostly you're just like, if you don't get to this yellow light, I'm going to kill you. Go now. Faster, faster, faster. Now. That's what you do.
And Greg was saying that. You know, somebody would let him, you know, cut through and you'd be rolling down your window and you're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah,
give him,
yeah,
you know, peace sign, all that stuff. Yeah. Greg, just close your window.
You don't have to do that.
Just stop that. Don't do that.
I don't think I have to do anything, but I just choosing.
And he said, I love the story about the airport dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to tell that story?
Well, I mean, they might have heard it last week, but sure, I'll tell it again.
I just love it. I want to hear it again.
Okay, so we got there quite a bit early, and there was another flight going to leave about an hour before our flight left. And this gentleman was totally passed out, you know, had these big headphones on, listened to his music.
Kind of looked like Princess Leia headphones.
Yes, big time like that.
Uh-huh.
And he was around other people.
Uh-huh.
And
you said he had like dark sunglasses, so you
yes.
couldn't see his eyes.
No, not at all. He had his arms crossed. He was
yeah,
laying
so
back.
So that's a totally like,
leave me the F alone position. He walked out, got up, and or like everybody around him started leaving because this flight was being boarded.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said last call, and he didn't move. And I thought, okay, I wonder if he's just asleep
mm-hmm.
and he's missing his flight
he's
and no one
flight.
Is going to wake him up.
Right.
And so I just had to go over there and just say, dude, hello,
and,
sir?
And Greg's sir? Like, what are you doing, Julie? What are you doing? Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
He wouldn't wake up. And so finally, Greg said, just leave him alone. He'll be fine. I go, what if he's not doing well here?
And so you sort of started nudging him.
Yeah. Oh, I nudged him quite a bit. Because now I'm starting to freak out.
Right.
This
Maybe
guy
he's
could
dead.
Be dead.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, okay. He's dead.
If he's dead,
I can't save him.
Right.
He's dead.
Right.
He moved on.
Right.
You know. So,
but you could help him go towards the light. girlfriend.
I can't. That's your job.
That's my job.
That's your profession. That's your God-given gift to help people in their transition. So not mine. Okay. I'm more like, okay, see you later, alligator.
Or you go, hey, Mom. Yeah. Mom, I got somebody
got
here.
Got somebody for you that needs a little help across the journey, across the bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but you and Dad were left alone for...
Oh, Julie.
A whole weekend.
So a Wednesday, Thursday, completely Friday, alone. Saturday. Finally, you came home.
Wednesday's not true. It's Thursday.
Yeah, I know. I'm counting it, though. It's like, okay, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So what was one of the highlights of your
the
time?
The highlights
or
of
what'd
of
you
us?
Learn?
Well, first of all, Dad wanted to board Elliot.
Right, okay.
And so he wanted to be responsibility free. He wanted to be doggy free.
Okay.
And so then it was just me and Norm, Storm and Norman together. What was the highlight of my experience?
Yes.
My God. We got Lou Malnati's pizza.
There you go.
One day went to the suburbs and got Lou Malnati's pizza. That's only because Dad had an appointment in Naperville to get these like leg braces that he got to help his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... He's happy he's got him. He had to get fitted for him and everything. But for me, I start crying when I see him with these big legs.
Yeah, you have a hard time with him. It's a little...
I just cry.
It's a little unnerving, your reaction to it.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty extreme reaction.
Is it really?
I think it is. I think, well, the first time, maybe not.
Well, I mean, like, okay, the guy's got two stents in his heart.
Yeah.
And he just got out of the hospital with vertigo for like 6 weeks. You
right.
know? And now he's got both these leg braces on
right.
because he can't have his knee surgery or knee replacement
right.
until he's off of blood thinners.
Right.
Which, who knows, could be another
yeah.
year or something. So I look at the guy and it's like he's got these two leg braces on. And
right.
not only is it kind of pitiful to me, like it causes my compassion, but it's not attractive to me.
Yeah, you said it causes my compassion. It does not cause you have compassion.
Okay, it doesn't.
You think it looks very pitiful and not attractive to you. His testosterone quotient goes down.
It goes way down.
And so therefore your estrogen is not boosted up
exactly.
at all. So you're just like, this is not a turn on for me, Normano. You better up your ante somehow.
You better
somehow.
Buy me some good pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I better have a great Mother's Day gift. And you better start pumping iron because you better have guns of steel.
That's what I tell him. You got to do something to counteract that
yeah.
look.
Yeah. If you're going to have, if you're going to have knee braces of steel, I want guns of steel.
That's right. And so that was my highlight to Lou Malnati's Pizza. And a shout out to Lou Malnati's because they had the best pizza in the Midwest.
Well, you also had another highlight. And I'm going to talk about this a little
Stan's
bit.
Stan's Donuts? No.
No, we wanted to. But we're going to go to a movie corner.
Oh,
but first,
yeah.
I want to say, everyone, you can go and get our book. Please support the podcast by getting our book at Amazon.com. Just
What's
go
the
to
book?
The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
You know, Julie, I heard somewhere that it was an Amazon number one bestseller.
It was. Boom, 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 boom. Is that tickering?
I think that they should buy the book and then let us know, and we'll send them our audio of us.
Go to and do that by going to support@ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
Right.
We had to change addresses because the other one was just too much spam
Viagra.
Going in there.
Too
I
much
couldn't
Viagra.
Take it. I couldn't take any more Viagra.
No.
I took enough Viagra to feel pretty darn good. Pretty darn loose.
Well, one of the things that you, when you were in San Diego, you said that, Mom, me and Greg, we saw this great movie on HBO in our hotel room. And knowing that I do not like movies over 90 minutes, because I watch a movie on every Saturday night. And it has I have to have a specific criteria. I guess because I'm an old curmudgeon.
You kind of are
but,
about this stuff.
It's got to be 90 minutes and, you know, it's got to be fun. I don't want, you know, what was the one that you said, don't see this, Mom?
Oh, I said, don't see Revenant. Revenant? I think that's the word they use. Unless you just want to be cold for 3 hours.
Yeah, Revenant
Two
is
and a half.
Not relevant to Mama here.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah.
I remember when I was done with it, I said, I was actually kind of happy with the movie because someone told me it was 3 hours long,
mm-hmm.
and it was. It was like 2 hours and a half, 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, great.
Ooh, woo-hoo.
I got a half hour off of this.
Yeah.
But I remember just being so cold in the theater when I saw it. It was a fine movie. Mm-hmm. It wasn't awesome, but it was fine, mm-hmm. you know. But I agree with you. I know he did. Good for you, Leo DiCaprio.
Leo. Hey, boo.
Yeah, you know what? You and all your success deserves a little gold statue. So there you go.
There you go, right.
Are you happy now, Leo DiCaprio? Or Leonardo. I don't know him that well. I should call him Leonardo.
Our boo,
as Jennifer Lopez calls him. Mm-hmm. She calls him Hun, her, babe, yeah, or something like that. But anyway.
What's the movie?
A Vacation.
It's been out a while.
Yes. What?
I said it's been out a while.
Yes. Not the original.
No.
But the new one. Not the original. But the new Vacation has been out for a while.
That would be a flashback.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, Greg and I saw it on HBO and like late night when we were at
Friday night.
And I said, told you, I go, okay, I got the movie that's perfect for you for your Saturday night movie.
So, yes, yeah, so I had one night Vacation. To go get it. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, are you sure? Because I don't want to waste an hour and a half if I don't have to. I'm like, how many times can you possibly watch the Decorating Brothers or, you know,
The Property Brothers.
Oh, not the Decorating Brothers. That's right. The Property Brothers.
Our Tiny House Nation.
Yes. Enough of those two things.
Yes.
I go, trust me, go for it. And I got to tell you, it was awesome.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud.
I know. It was
several
great.
Several times. It was so goofy.
It was goofy.
And I'm going to tell you.
Nasty in some areas.
Yeah, well, you know. I had a kind of a bad day that Saturday.
Yeah,
I
was you said you were having a bad day.
I just was. I was not happy camper. Nothing was going right. And we got this movie, and I really was resisting it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the end of it, I had totally my had boosted my mood.
Right.
A mood boost.
Yeah.
There you go.
And isn't that fun when that can happen? When all you have to do is see something that is uplifting, not the right word, but totally out of, you know.
Totally just wacky.
Crazy, wacky, and you just don't know when the next pun's going to happen.
Right.
The next crazy thing is going to happen. Right. So I can highly recommend this movie.
Yeah, I can too.
It was nuts.
And of course, I don't know how many months it's been out.
Well, enough to be years? On HBO, so at least 6 months. Yeah. Maybe a year even.
But still, we do movie reviews, and this is one we chose to do because I liked the movie.
And last week, you saw Jurassic Park,
Jurassic World.
And you liked that.
Which, again, I was resistant. Julie's like, Mom, get this.
Go ahead and get this.
And I'm like, oh, I really, you know, Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And yet, it was a good movie. It was really tight, well-written.
So, per Mom's criteria, those two movies satisfied your criteria.
Right.
And so we can highly give it, we should think about a special marking for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I don't know. But
the double guns, girlfriend double guns.
In
like,
the
boom,
mirror.
Boom, boom. Like, good job, in the mirror.
Double guns.
Ching, good job. That's a good movie to see.
With a wink.
Yeah, double wink. Uh-uh, yeah. That's a two winker.
All right.
Yeah. Go see those movies. So we can honestly say, awesome. Have low expectations of Vacation, and I think you'll enjoy it even more.
Right. And the key of awesome.
It's a key of awesome.
And Jurassic World, too. Did we do a...
I don't know if we talked about that, but just over...
A movie review of Jurassic World?
So we'll just say at the moment it was great.
Okay. All righty.
And so I want to talk about right now, I want to move into Elliot's Corner. I once had a dog, or should I say he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. All right, everyone. We are talking about my dog, Elliot, because I do believe that you can learn whatever you need to learn about life through your dog.
Puppy.
Through your puppy. Through training your puppy. Through taking care of your puppy. Through your puppy taking care of you. And
Elliot's World.
Here's a couple of things. One is I really think that dog owners are getting better and better at shaming each other, making sure that they know that they treat their dog better than you treat your dog.
Well, we go to the dog park a lot, and we find that...
Which, isn't that awesome? I mean, I don't remember the days when you could just take your dog to a dog park and let him run.
Yeah.
in a fenced in area. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so we had, we get puppy shamed. Mm-hmm. One time we got, well, several times we get puppy shamed because Elliot's a Wheaton Terrier.
Right. So not a rescue dog.
He's actually an actual dog that has a, I don't know, what do you call it? A pedigree or something?
Pepper. He has papers.
Yeah. Papers. He has papers.
But and his name is like Sir something something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but we call him Elliot.
Yeah.
Elliot Stabler Peters.
Yes.
But.
Because he has a heart of gold and he always gets his man.
That's right. Okay. But you know, literally 9 times out of 10 when we meet somebody else at the dog park, it's like, oh, your dog is. You bought your dog.
You bought your dog.
You paid for your dog.
Not a rescue dog.
He's not a rescue.
No.
Oh. And so, yeah, we get shamed and we're used to that. And then one time I remember we took our dog to a dog park in the city. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's called a dog beach.
Yes.
Because the dogs are allowed to go on the beach and
right.
run into the water. And this was not Elliot. This is when we had Molly Marie and Charlie Ray. But I guess they were, I don't know, I thought they were normal, but I guess they were acting up. And one of the people came up to us and said, aren't your dogs socialized?
Yeah.
So we got like socialized shame. And now we've got another one.
Now I've been water shamed.
Is that kind of like being waterboarded?
Possibly. Because I was waterboarding my dog. I had brought in a couple bottles of water for Elliot at the dog park. And we were by ourselves. And I was with Dad. And another dog comes in. He's a little Bichon Frise, an older dog. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, she's not going to shame me about my dog being not mm-hmm. a rescue dog. Mm-hmm. But what was happening, and I've been giving Elliot water in my dad's hand and then also pouring it so he can just drink it out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. And so immediately, though, when she comes in, he comes in and, like, is wanting his her love. And the little Bichon's just running around, not caring about anybody else but him. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing she says is, I'm going to go get your dog some water. And I go, well, no, we got water here for him. I got a couple water bottles. Mm-hmm. He goes, no. Your dog does not want to drink out of a bottle. He wants to drink out of a bowl, and I have a bowl for him. And I'll go do that. I'm like, oh, whatever. But she was very nice.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I'm like, okay, note to self, you must come with a bowl now.
And so is that why you had a bowl this morning?
Yes, that's why I brought a bowl this morning. Because the truth is, he did enjoy having the bowl. But this is what I know he does with it.
Mm-hmm. His beard gets in it.
Yes, and it ruins it for all other dogs. And he puts his feet in the bowl immediately and turns it over. Mm-hmm. And so I know this, and so I'm like, oh, now she wants to have his, you know, like, whatever.
So, Joe, how is this like life?
Okay, well, first of all, always be hydrated and always come prepared. And if you do that, that takes away a lot of obstacles that may come up in your way.
That's right.
Now, another thing that happened was I took him out dog park yesterday, and he was doing fine. He was with two dogs that you know at some parks you have two separate ones, so mm-hmm. they can run the fence, which
right.
is kind of nice.
Right.
And on the one side there was a husky, which was a rescue dog, and another dog that was a 8-month-old Malamute, and this dog was huge. They were both bigger than Elliot, but the Malamute was already bigger than her, and it was a puppy and
wow,
crazy. And so they kind of ran the fence a little bit and kind of got a little, you know, growly, but they ran the fence. And I said, hey, why don't you bring the female Malamute over, play with Elliot, you know? And they're like, fine, because the other one was a rescue and very new, wasn't sure how he was going to react. Mm-hmm. And so they were playing really appropriately, very nice, kind of running around. And then all of a sudden, he got very aggressive and a little growly. Hmm. Not bitey, but just like, you know, mm-hmm. growly. Mm-hmm. And so she then was hiding under my feet, like literally went between my legs.
The doggy was?
Yeah, the puppy. Mm-hmm. And so here I got a 75-pound dog between my legs. I got Elliot, like, you know, trying to get her to engage mm-hmm. more, and she's not having it. So I know the only thing I can really do, because like, you're not really supposed to have chains on him at this stage,
right.
is I just pick him up.
You did, yes.
And then once I grabbed him and he realized, oh, God, you know, I'm done. He just, all resistance left and so forth.
Like, oops.
Exactly.
I got caught.
Exactly. And so this is what I've learned from my dog this week about mm-hmm. that. I learned that sometimes you break bad. you're in a situation, mm-hmm. things are going a certain way.
Absolutely.
And somehow the energy changes and you're breaking bad.
Something shifts and you break bad.
And you need to just get out, take yourself out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And he was fine. Mm-hmm. Once he left the situation, he was totally fine. Mm-hmm. And I've been in that situation before where you go, I just got to get myself out of the situation. It's mm-hmm. not getting any better. I'm breaking bad, and mm-hmm. I need to just take
a chill pill. And you know what? I know that you like to say, I need to take a nap. Mm-hmm. If I take a nap, I'll be better. Exactly. I know, like Norm, do I have time to tell a quick story about Norm?
A quick story.
He was at his work, and he they said he might have another load, you know, going down. And so he swept his trailer. So it was like a half an hour. And it put him behind. And then they took away the load, and he pulled over for something. I can't remember what. But then a cop stopped him.
Right. He pulled over to write down what the load was supposed to be.
Right.
And then at that point, a police officer stopped him.
A DOT guy. Yeah. And then DOT'd him. Yeah. Which was another like 45 minutes to an hour.
And then this time he lost the load.
And then so by the time all this happened, and he said, I just felt like I just needed to take a chill pill.
And give it up.
Yeah, because then he said he got behind a truck that was only going about 45 miles an hour. And he went, well that's this. It. That's
and sometimes it. You just have to release all your resistance to the situation.
Right. Especially when you're in one of
those
cycles.
I can't make this happen. We know as being deliberate creators in our own lives, there are things we want to, this is going to happen. I'm going to push through this.
Right.
I'm going to make this happen. End result, done.
Right.
And other times you must say, let's just assess the situation and give it up to God.
Right.
Give it all up to God. God, you got my back. And however this is supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen.
Kind of like Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Exactly.
And know when to walk away and then know when to run away.
Run away. Exactly. So, girlfriend, you ready for a little pillow talk?
Absolutely.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening to Doris Day. And we're going to do a little pillow talk or pillar talk. And we mean by the pillars as those pillars of life. You know, think of yourself as the hub of a wheel. And each spoke is a pillar. And you have the pillar of relationships, finances, career.
Health.
Community.
Relationships.
So you're spiritual. Mm-hmm. All these things. And when one's out of balance, that wheel doesn't roll very well. Mm-mm. So we like to talk about these relationships or these spokes and call it our pillar talk. And last week I interviewed, and I played the interview on the podcast, David Ross. And it was a great interview. But he wrote the book, I Finally Quit and So Can You. And really what that book is about is his life story on how he had these two huge addictions that were really, controlling mm-hmm. his life.
And I think that one could definitely, like you're saying, like it's not just one pillar for David. It was health.
Yeah.
It was relationships, how it ruined relationships.
Well, yeah. And you can see, you know.
And money.
And you
career.
Know, yeah. When one pillar is out of whack, it affects all
you
pillars.
Bet.
And for him, it was health. He had two really bad, unhealthy behaviors that were not only affecting his health, they ended up affecting his career, his relationships, his finances were affected, his mm-hmm. spirituality was affected mm-hmm. because, and one was alcohol and mm-hmm. the other one was cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And these were decade old addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And
he couldn't find, he just couldn't keep together any longer. You know, a lot of times you can hide that stuff.
Well, it was interesting because in his story, you know, he had many times where, especially for drinking, that, you know, he was drinking and driving, mm-hmm. you know, had an accident mm-hmm. and covered it up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And are times when he acted really, poorly, and yet he still was able to keep it together enough for his job, which he made pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
And so people thought he was okay because the money thing at the time being was still mm-hmm. okay.
Wow, yeah.
And he had a fiancé at this time too. So he was able to keep, sometimes he was able to keep mm-hmm. balls in the air, mm-hmm. if you want to say,
mm-hmm.
even though these, as we like to say, these sad habits mm-hmm. were kind of getting bigger and filling up more and more of his life mm-hmm. and so forth. And his website is ifinallyquit.com, but he has a movement there. And
that's what I loved after hearing the story and everything. I loved the fact that he declared this a movement.
Yes.
Where he just, you know, he wants everybody that's a quitter.
Yeah.
To come on board.
Yes.
And you have to really get that.
Yeah.
You know, we love that one Bruce Lee quote, that it's not so much what you're adding to your life, it's what you're subtracting.
Yes.
And this idea of, like you said, the sad habits, getting rid of those, quitting. Right.
Because it's sometimes you have to be brave enough to say, you know, this is what I want. But the truth is, if I could just quit this behavior, mm-hmm. I'd probably get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times it's not doing more. I mean, a lot of times right. if we want to, we don't want to do the thing that means we have to give up something
right.
to get what we want.
Yes.
It's like, oh, let's do something more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You get it easier if you gave up this.
Mm-hmm.
You did this.
It's like a magician, you know, operating in smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
You just have to do it sometimes.
Oh,
you just
for gotta sure.
get real.
Oh, for sure. And it was
hit the bottom.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting because after I read his book, when I interviewed him, the first thing I said to him was, I want to hug you because I feel like I know your whole story now.
Right.
And great guy. But the book that I had, it was interesting. He kind of shared a little bit of I dug this about him. He did a cover of his book
mm-hmm.
and it was very, it felt like you're going to quit your job.
Well, you know what? When you told me that the title of the book,
yeah.
that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people's stories is, I was, you know, in the business world, corporate this,
yeah.
and
I finally,
and finally quit
yeah.
and struck out on my own and did the entrepreneur thing.
Yes.
And, you know, but you corrected me on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and it was, and so I like the fact that he had a book cover in mind that just was not connecting appropriately. People had the wrong idea about
mm-hmm.
his story
mm-hmm.
than it was on the book cover. So mm-hmm. he revamped his book cover. And so many times we hold on way too tightly
yeah.
to a concept
yeah.
because
we're married to it.
We're married
we
to it.
We love it.
When we forget that, what's our message?
Right.
And we want to share our message.
Right.
And so we're holding on and married to something that we should marry on if we're married to, because if we just tweaked it,
mm-hmm.
it would get a bigger hit or
right.
people would connect with
well,
them
I'm
more.
Thinking right now about Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
You know, we love him. And he when his first book came out, he thought it was something, he called it the hobo.
The vagabond.
The vagabond.
Yeah. The vagabond mine's just life. Been the vagabond. Yeah.
yeah. And nobody, like, you know, crickets.
Yeah, nobody got it.
Crickets.
Nobody cared.
But he decided to be brave and open up. And finally, the 4-hour work week.
He had like 4 or 5 different topics mm-hmm. or titles he was working with. Mm-hmm. And the ones he loved,
mm-hmm.
no one was attracted to them
right.
as much as the 4-hour work week.
Right.
And so it was like,
a nerve
all
with that
right,
one. I
all
guess
right.
I will.
And, you know, I think in page 196, I think it even says, now I'm not saying you're going to have a 4-hour work week every day. Sometimes you're going
you
to
have to
80 hours to get this done.
You have to read to page 196 to find that.
Yeah, exactly. And I go, oh, here it is. You know, but there'll be times when you only have a 4-hour work week
mm-hmm.
or you can do your job anywhere. But he had to let go of his vision
mm-hmm.
of what it needed to look like
mm-hmm.
to really have the message come across.
Yeah, and the most important thing was the message.
The most important thing is always the message.
Yes.
And here is David. He's like, I want people to know that at any age, no matter what the circumstance is,
mm-hmm.
you can quit.
Mm-hmm.
You can quit smoking, which is a very highly addictive thing.
Mm-hmm. And he also says, my way may not be your way.
No.
We're just a bunch of quitters.
We're sharing. We're a bunch of quitters.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
We're
exactly.
quitters.
And one of the things he did for smoking I thought was really cute. He got together his, he had a date in mind when he was going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he started printing out all these pictures of people quitting things.
Mm.
So that in his mind, he was getting ready to quit. I'm going to mm-hmm. quit this day. I'm going to quit mm-hmm. this day. But I also thought that was interesting when he was about ready to quit alcohol, which was his 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to really up his drinking mm-hmm. because he didn't want anybody to ever think that, like having their mind, well, you're not like me. I was drinking a lot more than you.
Mm-hmm.
So he was upping his alcohol
mm-hmm.
to, we're talking about a fifth or more a day.
Mm-hmm.
now I don't know how much it is, but he says like 4 bottles of wine a day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, equal to,
right. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. In marketing, I liked it because he was already trying to overcome people's objections.
Yes.
You know, like, yes. Oh, well, here's my objection to this. Or, mm-hmm. And I go, you're already trying to overcome people's objections to this. I thought that was so
That's
funny.
That's so cool, yeah.
Because he knew that he wanted to show people that at any mm-hmm. age, mm-hmm. any situation, you can become a quitter too. Mm-hmm.
I love that because in the midst of all of this, there's still that kernel of, I'm going to be of service somehow.
Right.
This will not have been. I will use this.
Yes.
Right. As service.
And I think that's how we change the world, because everyone has a story of overcoming something, and that in other people's lives, they feel that they can't. They're really at the last rope, on the last rung. You know, over water. It's not going to look good, mm-hmm. and there's no way they can get out of this.
Right.
Be like, hey, dude, you can get out of this. It'll just take one day. Today, decide to quit. Mm-hmm. Or decide that you're going to decide to quit. Mm-hmm. And 3 days from now, you're going to quit. I wanted to share with everybody that I gave up sugar for 30 days.
Right.
And I did it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I quit sugar
Hallelujah.
For 30 days.
Yes.
And then I had about a 3-day break.
Right.
And now I'm back on to 30 days again.
Another 30 days.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel totally cool about it.
Yes.
It's the 80-20 rule.
Yes.
More like 90-10, but you know, most of the time I'm without sugar, mm-hmm. and then every 30 days, I remember, and sugar is one of my downsides because mm-hmm. I don't smoke, I don't drink, mm-hmm. You know, I do cuss a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm. And what about doing a Coke off of a stripper's
Yeah, I
ass?
Do that. That's my favorite line. I do that. No, I don't. I don't know where I heard that from, but I just
I
love that line.
But every once in a while you pull that quote
old
out.
Line out. Yes, I yeah. do.
was that a line in the Clutterfly Effect?
No, but we talk about how, you know, these bad behaviors, these sad behaviors,
right.
they don't support our lives anymore. They're just the clutter in our lives.
Yes.
And you can tweak your way to better and better
right.
behaviors.
Right.
You might by starting by tweaking your way to better thoughts, better emotions.
Right.
And by doing that, you're making better and better decisions,
mm-hmm.
better quality decisions. And then you realize like, that you have this strength inside of you that you didn't think was there. And you have it. And you're like, whoa, I'm doing this.
Greg told me that you went up to a homeless person in San Diego and you were trying to support them. And you said, sir, just think about this. You may be only one decision away from a breakthrough.
I did. I just said to Greg. I didn't say that. That would have
no
been...
girlfriend.
That was. I'm just like,
sir. I have to tell you.
You're
here's
just
a quarter
one decision. One
you may
decision.
Just be one decision away from a breakthrough. And what decision might that be, young lady?
Exactly. Tell me about that. Tell me about that decision to make. But you know, we talk about those habits that are holding us back that are not for the new life. They might have been for our old life,
mm-hmm.
and they might have been totally appropriate back then,
mm-hmm.
but now we've matured.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways, maturity is not a bad word. We want our spirits to mature, our soul to mature.
Right.
We want to be able to have healthier thoughts and have healthier decisions, because
mm-hmm.
really we are the sum of our decisions and our habits, because
mm-hmm.
our decisions make those habits that
yes.
we do.
We really are the sum of our decisions, aren't we?
We really are. And so I really appreciate that he was able to give up, you know, quit smoking, quit
right.
drinking.
Right.
I also want to say, like, what's holding you back? You know, decide now what one habit you no longer need. We all have something.
Mm-hmm.
We all have something.
And that people can go to his community.
IFinallyQuit.com.
Yeah.
He also has a lot of some freebies there, some freebie things there
Wonderful.
As well. You can always go to our book too, The Clutterfly Effect.
ClutterflyEffect.com.
Yeah. And also in a little while, you go to The Clutterfly Effect and get the 7 A's.
Yes, the 7 A's.
Get what you want without breaking a sweat.
That should be shortly.
Soon, really soon.
What was it? The 7 A's. How to get what you want
without breaking a sweat.
Ooh, that's so mysterious.
It is mysterious.
Yes.
And it was so funny because we were working with somebody and they were like, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have to work. I don't have to break a sweat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And here's how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many times we stop ourselves because we get into that worry mode. Mm-hmm. And we worry so much mm-hmm. about if we're doing it right, if it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you hit an obstacle. That must mean what?
It wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. Not for me.
Right.
And so it no longer becomes joyous.
Right.
And
that's what we mean about
breaking a sweat.
Right.
No need to break a sweat.
No, you can be joyous.
You can get what you want without breaking a sweat.
That's right.
With the 7 A's.
Yes.
All right, everyone, I just want to say thank you guys very much for being with us on Life with the Girlfriends.
Life with
I hope
girlfriends.
You had a good time.
And you know what, Julie?
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.